time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
When I first started speaking, I somehow got involved with the uniform industry, and I began to do multiple talks for them. So much so that I asked them to give me a uniform so that I could go perform for them in one of their own shirts because they didn't wear their own stuff.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And I'm like, dude, I'm a worker. This is like the perfect thing for me. So I had sales maintenance department and Jeffrey put on my uniform. And at the time they were blue and gray, but it was before the Red Book came out. And I went out and went around the country and that was my wardrobe.
Speaking suit?
Yeah, my speaking suit. But I became an expert at the uniform industry because I gave so many talks for them. And I tried in vain to try to help them do things a little bit differently and err on the relationship side instead of the hunter-farmer side. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't do it. Wow. Today, we're going to meet a woman who wants to do it. That only took 20 years. But she's the number one manager in the company, and there's a reason. And the reason is she knows how to recruit people, she knows how to train people, and she knows how to keep people.
She's a freaking dynamite. Let's get into it. Let's welcome in Susan Harper, Senior Sales Manager for UniFirst. Susan has won Sales Manager of the Year 10 times. That's freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
She's a three-time President's Club Award winner and was inducted into the UniFirst Hall of Fame in 2012.
Whoa.
Welcome, Susan.
You Hall of Famer, you.
I am.
10-time winner.
How does it feel? You know, you have the convention and all of your peers are there and they announce that you're the Hall of Fame recipient. And you get up and people are standing and screaming and going, "You, Susan, Susan." How does that feel?
It's indescribable, the pride and the tears that come and the excitement and all the hard work pays off. And it's what I, you know, it's one of the ways that I love being recognized is out there publicly. Whoa, you're the best. And my team's loving on me and the CEO's loving on me. And it's just the best. The best.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of those award things, and I think they're the best thing any company can do.
Yeah.
Is to recognize the people that pay the president's salary. They don't actually look at it that way, but the president can't go on to...
Without sales.
No, to Lou Dobbs and go, well, it's a tough market share out there, Lou. No, some sales guy's busting his balls to make cold calls, to make sales so a CEO can ride in a limo.
That's right.
Okay, so being a 10-year winner,
whoa,
what do you do to keep that up? What are some of your strategies that you pass on to your sales reps so that you can be in that winning position every year?
So obviously, I can't make Sales President's Club, you know, Sales Manager of the Year if my teams aren't also Sales Reps of the Year. And so because of their success, it leads to my success, you know, and so on.
Is it about the recruiting of them or where does it begin? How do you make that happen?
So it starts at the very beginning. I am not a traditional by the book hiring person. I look for traits and characteristics that aren't typical, at least in our industry.
And what is your industry for our diehards?
Oh, yeah.
I work for UniFirst Corporation. We're a uniform and facility service company, and we provide uniform rental and uniform lease, as well as floor care products, chemical systems, and restroom solutions.
Are there separate salespeople for each one of those tasks, or do you combine them all with one?
my sales reps are very fortunate. They get to one-stop sell, and they can sell as much as possible. And we also serve our customers with the same service person each week that's providing those services.
But you have somebody who sells the uniforms and then someone else who delivers them, correct?
Yes, right. My uniform sales rep, or my, excuse me, my sales reps are all new account development. So once they complete the sale, they walk away and they're done. That's it. They got to go find the next account.
Yeah, that's been the universal strategy for uniform companies for the past 25 years.
That's correct.
Sell them and then let Dwayne take over the delivery.
And better Dwayne hope Dwayne's their, good.
That's right. You're right. Dwayne becomes the face of the company. He builds the relationship. He earns the renewal. And we just have to go out and hunt new account development.
On an everyday basis.
So let's back up. What do you look for specifically when you're hiring?
So, you know, usually an interview goes from the most recent to the, you know, you go back and you go back. I like to start at the very beginning. I go to where you were when you were seven and what you were doing. I like to look for the kid that was picking corn, working in his dad's shop, working at the barber shop. You know, he started his work.
Somebody who has a work ethic already.
Yeah, I can't teach work ethic. So the place I find that is in the early years. And I eventually work my way up to what they're doing now. But I really look for anybody that can show and prove that they started work at a very young age, even if it was the parents forcing them. And then I look for how it develops.
So somebody who went to private school and got out of school and is now looking for a job is not your kind of guy. I mean, what you're looking for is somebody who...
Well, if you went to private school and worked your ass off anyway,
yeah,
potentially.
But you're looking for someone who grew up with a work ethic.
Grew up with a work ethic, and, you know, this sounds kind of silly, but maybe went to the school of hard knocks, had a hard family life, maybe they didn't have any money, they had to work their way through school when they were, they're playing football and they go to McDonald's after football practice. But whatever they did, if they were a janitor or if they were a corn picker, they were the best at it. And they're just, I look for achievement-based anything.
In South Carolina, you can be a corn picker.
That you absolutely
can. In New
can.
York City, if you're
it's
a corn
so
picker,
funny,
you go
yeah.
to a supermarket.
That's so far removed from where I grew up. It's so funny.
But anyway, I think that's it. Very insightful for other sales managers to look for someone who already understands work before they get there.
And they're successful at whatever it is they do.
They hustle.
Were the best corn picker. That's
they hustle.
Right.
Yeah, you don't care about what they did this past month or this past year. You care about their foundation because that's the part of them that's not going anywhere.
And I want to clarify something. This would not be a side hustle. This would be a full-time hustle.
That's correct.
And you're going to teach them. What are the ethical things or the sales things that you try to emphasize when someone is starting with you?
That the first year or two, it's basically boot camp. They're going to have to work their tails off, building their sales funnel, making a lot of calls. This is not a sexy job. I mean, we sell uniforms. We measure.
You can't.
They
leave
certainly
the,
are not sexy most of the time.
I can leave
correct.
The top button open. It's a little. Come on.
It's not a sexy sale.
I gotcha. Yeah.
It's not sleek software kind of cool.
No, man. We might be sitting on the garage floor talking to the owner of a mechanic under his car doing this, going through our sales process.
I'll tell you, though, when you saw me 20 years ago, I had on a work shirt.
You did. You were wearing one of ours, I think.
I was.
I sure hope
That's
so.
That's exactly correct. And I had that said sales maintenance department and Jeffrey. And and because I had done so many talks for your company, I asked them, get me a shirt. I'm tired of wearing a suit.
Makes sense.
Because I wanted to share with them or show them I'm a worker. I'm rolling up my sleeves. I got my name on my shirt. Leave me alone. And I've been wearing it ever since.
Awesome. I'm glad that you love it. If you need a different size these days, let me know.
I need some uniforms, so we'll talk after this.
All right.
I might need to be cute dresses. Just
we have. Well, we don't have the dresses, but we got some great women's wear.
All right. We'll talk. So I want to know more about your top salespeople and what they're doing differently that sets them apart from the average salesperson.
Okay. So the one I'm going to talk about that comes to mind the most, his name is Lance Welch, and he came to me 9 years ago. He was a forklift mechanic.
Hey, hold on. Lance just got his name said because he's so great to, I don't even know, how many downloads are we at a month now? Like 70,000?
70,000 people now know about Lance. If I were you, I'd hide him for a little while.
Listen, the good news is he's never going to leave me or Universe.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Okay, way to go, Lance. Let's hear about him.
His roots are deep, deep, deep. He bleeds green. Cool. So, but what's cool is that he was a forklift mechanic when he came to me. And he just showed all those characteristics. His parents made him get up early and work on the farm. He started a landscaping business when he was 12. He worked multiple jobs. Anyway, he didn't know a thing about sales except that they make way better money than what he was making. And he wanted to make good money. And he came to me quite a few times. And I kind of pushed him away and he kept coming back. And he just showed the characteristics that I love. And so I gave him a shot. But because he didn't know anything about selling, he only had that thing, you know, that thing inside you that you just, I don't know, I can't, that you just,
it's that drive.
Yeah, he just had that. And I knew I could teach him if he would follow our training, follow our scripts. So we went through, Universe has some amazing training that we put all of our new hires through. It used to be in person. We used to travel. In 2008, we switched to video conferencing to save some money. Everybody was cutting salespeople. We were pumping them up. And that's about the time we brought Lance on. And so he followed our training. He didn't know any different. He followed our training. We got through the book work. We got through the video training. And then where the real learning started is when I hopped in the field with him. And I invented my own version of something called Hell Week. Now we call it Money Week. But I saw these people getting trained at the company. And they have all this stuff in their head, but they don't really know how to apply it. And then sales managers were just sending them out on the street going, hey, you're trained. And, you know, I just know that's not true. So we spent a bunch of time in the field together. I did a cold call. He did a cold call. I did a needs analysis. He did a needs analysis. I directed him where to stop, what to do, made sure he was using his scripts. And he followed our process. And our process works. And he didn't know any different, so he had no bad habits.
Right.
he listened to what I told him. He did it. And he is a 9-time President's Club winner.
Wow.
He made President's Club his first year. And he's making a ton of money. He's probably in the top 1% in Sumter, South Carolina for earned income. So he's my success story.
That is so cool.
Love guys like that.
Yeah. So he was a student. He was a sponge. He soaked up your training and went with it.
Absolutely. He knew other way.
Now, how has the sales world changed since Lance became Lance?
Oh, wow. Everybody wants to beat Lance. So my team.
They wake up in the morning and, you know, Lance has a first name.
Right. He's well known in the company. He can do anything he wants with the company. You know, he hobnobs with the big rollers. He just loves his job. But
hang on one second. While I have this idea, I'm going to give it to you right now, and you can give it to Lance, okay?
Okay.
He goes out to the Harris Teeter in your neighborhood, and he buys Lance peanut butter crackers, and he carries them around as his own brand, and he gives them to people as a welcome gift. Hi, my name is Lance. Here's my peanut butter crackers. I need to talk to somebody about why your shit is ugly.
I can't believe I've never thought of that.
I love that.
Genius.
Coach
and
Jeffrey.
I guarantee you he will be doing that this week.
Oh, yeah. No, hold on.
I want video
of what he's doing, and I'll coach him personally about how to make the intro.
I promise.
Cool.
Do you have a card? No, but I do have some crackers.
Oh, I love it. We're going there for sure.
I love that.
Just eat the crackers, but save the wrapper.
forever.
Oh, you're amazing. That I can't. 20 years, I haven't thought of that.
Well, there you darn go. Now,
I love it.
Susan, I want to talk just one more thing about the success of your sales team based on the fact that you work with them and go out in the field with them. Yes. How integral is that to their success?
So in this industry, the turnover is typically very high because it's a hard hunter sale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 80-20 rule, about 20% are getting it done, 80 aren't. In my team, because of the time I spend in the field, I don't have turnover. How I'm that successful is I'm able to keep my people. It's a two-year team. You know, imagine you own a baseball team and it's at a two-year school and you can never build a team because every 2 years they leave you and you got to start all over. My people stick around. So being in the field is what they love. Even Lance, my expert, my big dollar man.
Your Jesus of uniforms.
He calls me and says, hey, I've got this big account. Will you come with me? And we team sell. And
that's awesome.
Exactly.
So
when they have confidence in you as a sales manager to go with on a sales call and help make the sale, that's when you really win.
That's everything. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I have one more question before we go because I'm dying to know. So you ask all your new hires, where did they get their sales start? And what were they doing at age 5, 6, 7, whatever? What about you?
I have a very similar background. I was the youngest of four children, and they all went off to these big fancy colleges. And my mom, you know, I was an okay student in school, but my mom said I had street smarts and that I could go find something that was street smartish. And so here I've got these very successful brothers and sisters, and I didn't know what I wanted to be. And I ended up in a boiler room making phone calls. And you know what's crazy is I was really good and I loved it. I love the energy in the yucky boiler room.
Oh, my God. And, how many females were in that boiler room besides you?
There wasn't any. Just me. I mean, truly, even when I came to work for UniFirst, we really didn't have many women.
Wait a minute. The drivers are still men, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't want to carry a bunch of mats on my shoulder and a bunch of uniforms this way either.
Yeah, come on.
There are women. There are women route service representatives, plenty. For me, it wasn't my thing. But truly, I got my start in sales. And then we were setting appointments. And I watched the appointments that I was setting. And then the sales reps were going out making all the money. And I thought, I did the hard part.
Right.
Door.
Exactly.
And they're making money. So I took a commissioned only sales job, which was terrifying because I wanted an hourly pay and it was selling cell phones. Scott, this is going to date me, but you remember bag phones?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's what I sold. And they didn't have them in stores. I went to attorney's offices but I made a lot of money doing that, but there really wasn't any training. They just said, here's a phone, go sell. And, I didn't finish my degree, and now I don't care.
Right.
You know, I have people that say, do you want to go back and finish your degree? No, because I don't think it will help me.
Right.
I want to just continue learning more and more sales, and our company is evolving in the way we're doing our training.
They don't have degrees for sales babes.
You could teach the degree.
Exactly.
The street smart thing is really what I found. I just found sales and I have such a passion for it.
That's obvious.
That is phenomenal.
Then when I joined UniFirst, it was like, whoa, this is home forever.
Yeah.
I love my company.
Cool.
And the people that work here.
Susan Harper was a classic. That was
She's
classic.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, a classic interview of a person who decided she was going to go for excellence in her people, not just in herself. And that's how she is win. That's how she has won, and that's how she's continuing to win. She loves her people. She goes hand in hand with her people, and she challenges them to be a little bit better than she is.
I love when she said she looks for people who want to be the best at whatever it is they do, because it starts with her. She wants to be the best at whatever she does. She didn't mention that, but it obviously starts with her internal desire to be best.
And there was a subtle thing that she said. She looks for people that have had a background in work, like they grew up working somehow or the other. And she said, I can't teach work ethic. So what she's doing, she's looking for someone who already has the desire to work and win. And from there, she knows that they'll take training and she knows that they'll be accepting to coaching. And that's her secret of winning. So if you're a manager out there and you would like to brag about how great you are, and you think you're the Susan Harper of your business, email sellerdie@gittimer.com. Until then.
Hold on.
Oh.
Hold on.
All right.
I want to flip this around for a second.
All right, Jen.
Because we have so many salespeople who listen to our show who are diehards, and they're wondering, I'm not a sales manager. What does this mean for me? Here's the cool thing about this. Susan Harper is a 10-time winner who looks for winners and looks for people she can train and turn into winners. So when you're looking for your next job, or maybe you're looking for a job right now, it's so important that you look at who your sales manager is going to be and how many times they've won or not, and how much they care about investing in you and going out with you in the field and training you and giving you the tools that you need to be successful.
If you're applying for a job someplace, don't Google the company, don't Google the sales manager. Talk to the salespeople that work there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you the most insight on the planet.
Especially the people who will be on your direct team reporting to the same exact manager, because that can make all the difference in the world. Think about this. I guarantee people in the uniform industry are lining up to try and work for Susan Harper.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, the word's out on her.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And if you're a manager, the question you need to ask yourself is, are people lining up to work for you?
Same thing in a college class. Remember the kids that stood online to register for the class?
For the special teacher?
Because the teacher was great.
Yeah.
That was a great interview. If you're a sales manager and you think you can give an equal interview, please email sellerdie@gittimer.com. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling. And
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something even if your ass falls off.
Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.